You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So we're inside of 4 months until the November election. It's down to two men in their 70s, incumbent President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. As a nation, we're struggling with a pandemic, an economic recession, protests about police brutality and racial oppression. So this hour, we check in with Republicans and how they view the president's work and how they will vote in November. In recent weeks, prominent Republicans have publicly said that they will either not vote for President Trump's reelection or will back Biden. Conservatives, let's hear from you. What case do you make for or against President Trump? How are you weighing whether or not to support your party's nominee? We're at 800-642-1234. Scott Grabens is chair of the Dane County Republican Party. Scott Grabens, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Scott Frostman is chair of the Sauk County Republican Party. Scott Frostman, welcome to you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks you for the opportunity to be on here. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing? I look forward to the opportunity to have a discussion with everybody today.
Well, Scott Frostman, let's start with you. Make the case for why President Trump should be reelected.
Well, we all know that Donald Trump is a very polarizing figure. Most people either really love him or they hate him. And there aren't a lot of fence sitters. And part of our role is to really convince people to look past some of the bombastic bluster and some of the rhetoric that's out there and really look at what we've been able to accomplish. Part of that is you look at the prior to the COVID pandemic, you look at economic growth. Which candidate is better suited to foster economic growth? We had record low unemployment for blacks, record low unemployment for Hispanics, record low unemployment for Asians, all across the board, and very solid economic growth. Which candidate is better positioned to foster continuing economic growth? And we really feel Donald Trump is the one to do that. We look at how the world is positioned worldwide, with ISIS being largely defeated, with the pushback of a lot of terrorist situations, and you know what we did in Syria without further ramifications, what we did in Iran with General Soleimani. You know, President Trump is really positioned to keep the United States safest. President Trump is the one that is really engaged to make an economic difference moving forward.
You're really focusing on that economic landscape. Scott Grabens, what do you see as your driving force here in President Trump's biggest accomplishments and how you see him in November?
Yeah, I have to say, Scott and I didn't have the opportunity to talk beforehand, but it really is amazing, I think how close we are on the same page here. That's really what I'm leading with, too. It's the economy underlying that we have right now. Obviously, the COVID-19 outbreak is really upset our economy as it is now. But underneath it, before that, as Scott mentioned, we had record unemployment, and that was across the entire economy. And for Latino Americans, for African Americans, for everybody, that was something everybody was sharing in. COVID-19 obviously was a major disruptor to that, but even as we look at trying to reopen here and as the states are working our way back in, you can see those strong fundamentals in the economy underneath as the jobs are returning and there's that growth. And yes, there's still a lot of uncertainty as we continue to fight this pandemic, but there's no doubt that the president has laid a solid foundation there. And if we want to recover from this, I think he's undoubtedly the best person suited to lead that recovery.
That is Scott Grabens, who is the head of the Republican Party of Dane County. We also have Scott Frostman here, who chairs the Republican Party of Sauk County. We're hearing Republican voices this hour discussing President Trump's reelection bid. With your thoughts along the way, are you a conservative? What do you think of the job President Trump has done in office? Will you vote for his reelection? Join in at 800-642-1234. Scott Frostman, how do you feel the president has handled the pandemic so far?
Well, we're We've found ourselves, thanks for the question, we've really found ourselves in a lot of uncharted waters. I don't know that certainly in my time that we've ever had this type of reaction to a pandemic situation. One of the things that I look at is that, you know, President Trump was largely vilified and demonized in the press when we put into place the China travel ban. You know, he was called racist for being against, you know, for against Chinese people for putting in the travel ban. And you had situations like in San Francisco and New York where the leaders of those cities and those areas were talking about, yeah, it's safe to go out and enjoy New York. And then suddenly President Trump was being vilified for not having taken action more quickly. I think that the president has sought to do what he can do. I think that more of that response ends up being more on a state and a community level to focus on those individual cities or individual areas that have the outbreak. It's certainly been uncharted waters for everybody.
I would,
and you get such a mix. You know, like even like the whole thing about masks. You know, you'll have here it is, you know, you'll have these situations where it's like everybody's got to wear a mask, and then you'll have just as much information, you know, or you'll have information contrary to no, masks aren't good, you know. So it's really been a very challenging situation for everyone.
I was listening to a House subcommittee hearing yesterday. Governors straight across the nation, Scott Graben's furious with the president for not putting some federal policies in place specifically around access to PPE and how masks and other items of protective equipment are distributed to states, as they say they have been going to the highest bidder. So how do you see how this president has handled the pandemic and in terms of also how states have reopened?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, and I think the best approach to this is certainly a state-by-state approach. As we see, it certainly hasn't affected all states or all regions within a state the same way. And I think on that respect, and that's what the president had reiterated up front, is that, you know, that we're here to help, but, you know, states need to be really organizing, you know, the best possible way to handle the pandemic in their state. And I think, and just to kind of reiterate a little bit as to what Scott said, you know, you do see states, as example, New York, early on, where they're, you know, calling the president racist and bucking the recommendations that he was trying to encourage states to follow early on, and it led to a more serious outbreak in those areas. So I think, you know, it is an unprecedented situation in pretty much all of our lifetimes, and I do tend to give all of our leaders, you know, all our governors, the president, you know, some leeway as they went into this, and I think they all entered it with the best of intentions. The one thing I will say is I think where that has worn thin is, for example, in Wisconsin, we see our governor wanting to keep pushing this lockdown, wanting to keep his foot on keeping things tamped down, whereas the president had took the same immediate action, but now is encouraging we need to safely reopen and we need to keep that going. I mean, it's just we can't stay locked down forever. And I think the president is walking a very good fine line with trying to encourage this reopening, but also continuing to respect the needs to fight this pandemic.
Scott Grabens there chairs the Dane County Republican Party. Scott Frostman chairs the Sauk County Republican Party, talking about the Republican Party headed into November, the fractures, the unity, the issues, President Trump's campaign for re-election. 800-642-1234. You can join in. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. More conversation on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're spending the hour with the Republican Party here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kahn. Thanks for being here. We're examining the tensions that exist within the party as President Trump campaigns for re-election. A stretch of lackluster polling has some Republican operatives concerned. Also, groups that were key to President Trump's win in 2016, seniors, non-college-educated whites, and men, that's been shrinking in multiple polls in recent months. So we're checking in. Liberals, what questions do you have for conservatives about President Trump's actions in office? Independents, how are you thinking about the two candidates before you? Room to talk, 800-642-1234. Scott Frostman chairs the Sauk County Republican Party. Scott Grabens chairs the Dane County Republican Party. They both stay with us. Let's take a call now. Richard is joining us from Two Rivers. Hi, Richard. What are your thoughts?
Good morning, and thank you for allowing me on the air. I have a simple question. Is I'm not going to debate whether Trump has accomplished things or not. But what I am going to debate is the fact that he's unethical and he doesn't have a moral compass, and he's in a leadership role for a country that sets example for children. And I want to know what their opinions are and where do you draw the line where you just say enough is enough.
Richard, thanks for the call. Scott Frostman, I'm going to send this one to you.
So we are, you know, one of the things that we've seen as we have examined our history and our leaders and our founders is that we know that each one of those men and women that founded our country were flawed people. But they accomplished great things. We are all flawed people and all have challenges. Sometimes people tend to paint with a broad brush and say that Trump is unethical, but there's not much beyond that with regard to what do you mean, what specific things do you look at? And I think one of the other things with President Trump is that there has been kind of an awakening, I think, that he's had, that with regard to how he handles himself, with regard to his reliance on those with a stronger moral compass. Part of it is that, you know, I think, again, people have to look a little bit past some of the bombastic bluster and understand that a man who didn't need to do this, who is donating his salaries, working, you know, and stepped away from a successful business environment in order to serve our country.
And I want to jump in here. Richard, mm-hmm. Could you be more specific? And, you know, what in particular do you find that is appalling to you in how President Trump conducts himself?
Yeah, I will. It's he's already proven that he has had illicit affairs with women that I would never have done, and I'm not the president of the country. And I think of my daughter, and I think of how much I love her. And if he would have done that to my daughter, I would have been very upset.
Scott Grabens, I want you to jump in here on ethics and the presidency. What do you see?
Well, again, I think, for us to stand right now and to start saying that we have to hold, you know, the president to these extremely high standards that we've never held anyone to before, really in the history of our country. And that's not to excuse any behavior, and certainly as a father myself, I certainly wouldn't tell my son or my daughter to go emulate the president or any public figure. I mean, that's something that we do as a family, something that as a parent myself that I would do. To talk about, the president, and this obviously is very common knowledge, his history and things that have happened in the past with him and various women. You could say the same thing. You look back to President Clinton. There's a very, documented history there. Certainly looking at his opponent right now, there have been allegations made against Vice President Biden. So to say that, that alone, should disqualify anybody from running for office, I kind of reiterate what Scott said, that, the history of our nation is, and frankly everyone, you know, are flawed individuals. And Scott, they need to look at how they perform in the job.
Scott Frostman, some people argue that President Trump is racist. He's called Black Lives Matter, a quote, a symbol of hate. Are you troubled by his rhetoric around race as you see protests unfold across the country about racial oppression and police brutality?
Candidly, I do not consider President Trump to be racist. It is sometimes troubling to the extent that he criticizes Black Lives Matter, but you also have to look at an organization. I think you got, getting really deep, pretty sensitive stuff. But you look at the organization Black Lives Matter, and many of the tenets and the goals of the organization are solid and fundamental, and there are change still needs to occur. We've come a long way, and since the ending of horrible institution of slavery, but we still have a ways to go. But it's also something that, you know, like there was just a news story in the last few days where one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter was referred, you know, talked about being a trained Marxist. And I think there are elements of the organization that that seek to undermine a lot of the fundamental freedoms that a lot of other people have. So we stopped the separating of the families at the border in 2018. I think that it's a soundbite. It's easy to grab at that and say President Trump is racist and everyone who supports him is racist. But I really think when you get down to it and you look at what we do on a day-to-day basis, I don't agree with that. It's hard to respond to that because people kind of make up their minds that he's racist.
Scott Frostman there, chair of the Republican Party of Sauk County. Scott Grabens, head of the Republican Party of Dane County, talking about how they view Republicans and President Trump ahead of November. With your thoughts as well, let's bring in Justin joining us from Madison. Hi, Justin. What can you add?
Good morning. Thank you for taking that call. I would just more like to add a comment. So I didn't vote for Trump in the primary in 2016. I voted for Ted Cruz, and I was extremely skeptical of voting someone like Donald Trump as a Republican. I didn't trust his conservative credentials. I didn't trust his history. I didn't trust a lot of the things that he was saying that he was going to do or a lot of his actions. I didn't approve of them. And I think he's proven time and time again that although he is an imperfect vessel in many respects, his deliverance on conservative principles and ideas are far more genuine and far-reaching than any Republican president we've seen, even including Ronald Reagan, who, you know, is held as the gold standard. One of the ways I see is his stance on free trade. This was not a Republican ideal to go against free trade and globalism and really institute, you know, kind of economic nationalism. And I think we've seen, you know, kind of what the benefits of a leadership style where he says, you know, I understand what needs to be done, may not be popular, it may cost me support, but it's the right thing to do for our country, and I'm going to do it. So I'll just jump off the line to hear your response to that and hear how you as a party in Dane County and Sauk County are spreading this message of the positivity of some of these less popular or the success of some of these less popular processes or policies.
Justin, I want to unpack the issue of trade because as of last September, President Trump and Xi Jinping had imposed duties on more than half of the U.S. and China's trade in goods with additional tariff measures that were taking effect. Trade war was alive and well, Scott Grabens. How do you explain that?
Yeah, well, and when you look at the issue of trade, I think we can't forget the USMCA that was pushed by the president, I think particularly here in North America. You know, he moved to rectify that, and that is something that passed through Congress with bipartisan support. So, yeah, certainly, you know, the ongoing situation with China, you know, is something to consider. I will, you know, overall, yeah, and I, Yeah, I'm kind of was in the same spot as our last caller. I went to our national convention representing Dane County, and Dane County did happen to go, on behalf of Senator Cruz then. I went in with a little bit of skepticism, but again and again, the president has, stated an agenda. He's moved on it. He's acted on it. There's times where I'll be 100%, yeah, that's the right thing. There's other times I kind of scratch my head. But, more times than not, these actions are working. He threatened, the president of Mexico with tariffs, unless they responded to helping on the border. And when that broke, the first I thought, wow, that's pretty bold. That's probably more than I would have expected. But then the next day, all of a sudden, Mexico was there helping with the border.
So, I'm going to pause there with Scott Grabens, chair of the Dane County Republican Party. Scott Frostman here as well, chairs the Sauk County Republican Party. And we are out of time, both of you. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for the opportunity to be here, and appreciate the opportunity to share our views.
And the news is next here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for our conversation about the Republican Party here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're spending the hour examining tensions inside the GOP ahead of November as President Trump campaigns for a second term. So let's ponder this question. Is President Trump a deviation, a blip, if you will, within the larger conservative movement? Or is he a logical fit with what's happened to conservatism in recent decades? Are you a product of the Reagan Revolution? What conservative policy lessons did you learn from the 80s that carry over to today? And how will you vote in November? Join in 800-642-1234. Rich and Lena Eng are evangelical Christians who live in New Berlin. They've consistently voted Republican, but this year they have publicly come out against President Trump's reelection. Rich and Lena, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, Kate. Thank you so much for having us.
Yep. Great to be here.
Lena, let's start with you. You've been a longtime loyal Republican voter. What about the GOP before President Trump attracted you to the party?
You know, as an evangelical Christian, I think that I've always voted Republican, mostly because of the pro-life stance. And I'm also a CPA, financial conservatism is part of who I am. So that seemed to fit really well with who I am.
Rich, what has historically attracted you to the Republican Party?
I grew up in the Reagan era, had been affected by the Eisenhower era. And so, what I loved about the party was the strong stance on, as Lena mentioned, life, as well as the strong Second Amendment approach, but also the commitment to values. We were considered values voters, and that still resonates with me.
What did you think, Rich, when Donald Trump, when he first declared his candidacy in 2015, what did you do?
So I didn't think he was that serious, to be honest. That was kind of my initial impression, but certainly it became more serious, and look at where we're at today.
Early on, Lena, what did you think of the candidacy there and how President Trump's trajectory was there way back as he went into the 2016 election?
To be honest, when I started listening to what he was saying, I actually thought that his message of draining the swamp resonated with me, because I feel like there's too much corrupting influence of money in Washington. And so as an outsider, I was actually, it did pique my curiosity, but as his campaign went on and some of the character attributes really did not fit, wasn't a good fit, I was not inclined to vote for him in 2016.
When you say character attributes, what do you mean by that?
I realize that he comes from the entertainment world, But the way that he would just denigrate his opponents and name calling, I just felt like that was not what we would want in a president.
Rich, what ultimately did you decide to do there in 2016?
So in 2016, I actually wrote in my brother-in-law for president.
How did that go for you?
Difficulty with both candidates. Yeah, my brother-in-law was kind of tickled on that one. But, you know, it was tough, right? You got loyalty to the party and to what I thought conservatism stood for. And then a person who, you know, really did not reflect and certainly now does not exemplify, I think, the best of the American people. And that's what made it really tough for me. And, you know, I wanted to give him a chance. I hope that, you know, maybe after he won the election in January, things would change as he took office, and he'd reach out and become the president of not just the Republicans, but of all Americans. And that really hasn't been the case, as he's been very divisive.
Lena, you also went the write-in route in 2016. Did you give President Trump a chance, though, in office? And how, in the early days and months, did you gauge his presidency?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, what resonated with me was the draining the swamp, that I also felt like, okay, we could improve healthcare. That definitely, you know, the ACA was good, but it definitely had many flaws that needed to be improved. So I was waiting to see what he would do. And I did not think that the way that he, you know, his administration has operated has done anything to really drain the swamp. I mean, he's definitely taken out people, but it seemed more out of self-interest rather than actually fixing the broken political system. And I have yet to see any real plan for improving healthcare. So, you know.
We're talking with Lena and Rich Eng. They're longtime Republican voters who have come out this year in opposition to President Trump's reelection bid. We're examining tensions within the GOP this hour and issues with you as well. Let's bring in a call now. Ray is joining us from Janesville. Hi, Ray.
Good morning, Kate. Hey, I'd just like to say that I'm an independent voter. I've voted both ways over the years. But Mr. Trump is just a total failure. I mean, especially with this pandemic and the virus, you know, it's like the federal government has been nowhere around since even in 1918, the federal government failed the people. You know, it's just ridiculous on how he operates.
Ray, thanks for calling in. Rich, I want to pose that to you. How have you seen the president's role in managing the pandemic?
Yeah, his role, I mean, to be blunt, has been a colossal failure. It just the unpreparedness that we had, the inability to accept responsibility, the unwillingness to work as part of a team, the mixed messages, just been very poor handling in my part. And it's affecting a lot of us, especially our vulnerable populations.
You know, our last guests were saying that managing the pandemic should be a state approach, that each state should take action on their own. What do you think of that? Do you consider a federal approach to both managing the public health crisis and the economic crisis, or should states go it alone, Rich?
So I think, you know, we have different levels of government that play different roles. The idea is to be coordinated and to let the federal government play their part. The states have to play their part, and even cities and local governments need to play their roles. Each of us has our responsibility to do what works best. I think the people closest, the counties and the cities, know what's happening with their people and feed that up to the state. But if the federal government can do things like make sure that there's an abundant supply of PPE or medications to people to get those out, and the states can determine who opens and when, and sometimes city by city.
Let's bring in another call. Bill is with us from Orfordville. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you this morning? Thanks for letting me have my say here. I'm 78 years old, going to be older soon, I hope, if I survive, and my wife is 72. We have a little farm, and we don't go to town. We are doing everything we can to stay alive, and I just wonder how many more senior lives are going to be sacrificed to save this economy. I mean, they haven't done anything for us. There's nobody checks on us. Nobody cares about us. And I know the few friends that we do contact with, they're scared to death. The kids are running around without masks. I went to a grocery store the other day, and the kids were in the delicatessen there with no masks on and everything else. And I got angry, and they basically threw me out.
Well, Bill, and, I want to pause right here and let Lena respond in how you see President Trump's role in managing this pandemic.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. Similar to Rich, I'm really disappointed in his leadership and lack of taking responsibility. I feel like it's been, you know, he's all over in terms of, you know, first indicating that it's not really something we should be concerned about, to then, you know, he did close the border, which was good in terms of with China. But, you know, other than that, I feel like his focus has been more on re-election. Even the daily briefings when he started that, I thought it was a great idea, but that turned into more of a circus. And so then they stopped that. So, yeah, not great leadership at all from the top.
You both signed on in support of the group Republican Voters Against Trump. You both recorded testimonials. Rich, what led you to take that public stance against your party?
Yeah, you know, it was tough, Keith. Usually I stay out of politics, but, you know, just as I saw, yeah, I wanted to give him a chance in the beginning, but just the last 3 years, seeing how he is not true to conservative values, right? I mean, we have values of accountability, responsibility, transparency. All those are things that, you know, conservatives should care about. And yet President Trump, you know, does not reflect those well at all. He's not accountable to the people. He has the most powerful voice in the world, and he's not responsible with the words that he says. And in terms of transparency, I mean, even simple things like releasing his tax returns, like all modern presidents have done voluntarily. He fights in our criminal justice system, legal system right now. So that's why I said, okay, enough's enough. I got to speak out as someone I think who still holds conservative values dear to my heart.
We are spending the hour examining fractures within the GOP ahead of November as President Trump campaigns for a second term. Rich and Lena Eng are with us of New Berlin, longtime Republican voters who have come out in opposition of the president. Were you a supporter of President Obama, who pulled the lever for Donald Trump in 2016? Why do you support President Trump then, and will your support carry over to November? Still time to talk. We will be back in just a minute. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking at fractures inside the Republican Party this hour, how conservatives view President Trump's reelection bid. We have Rich and Lena Eng, who are longtime Republican voters in New Berlin, who have come out this year in opposition to President Trump, and they stay with us. Let's take another call now. Mark is with us from Kimberly this morning. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Madeleine Albright, President Clinton's Secretary of State, has written a 2018 book on fascism and a history. And she points out that what all these autocrats, fascists have in common is they look out for their personal interests above everything else. They're willing to do anything to anybody. And Sisi, the dictator in Egypt, who's outlawed the opposition and the press and put anyone in jail. Trump says he's fantastic, and Duterte in the Philippines, who's you know, encouraging vigilantes to kill and
Mark, I'm going to jump in here because I want Rich to respond to how he views President Trump in light of other dictator regimes around the world and the interactions the president has had with those regimes.
Yeah, I think the president is walking a very dangerous line here, you know, looking at another dictator like Kim Jong-un in North Korea. I think the talks that he tried to have with them, they weren't productive at all in terms of anything that we were able to obtain. And then I think just giving Kim Jong-un some credibility by having the president of the United States, the, you know, symbol of freedom in the country, a meeting, I think that was a very bad mistake and poor judgment on the president's part.
Lena, I want to ask you, at your church, among your friends and the people you care about in your community, does the president have a lot of support?
Well, Kate, he does still have a lot of support. And, you know, I think that, and, you know, this is more my opinion, I do think that there is an echo chamber that a lot of my friends might really, it gives them, I think, the fodder to be able to just continue to support them. And so some of the things that we're trying to do at our church is have more of a dialogue. We call them red and blue dialogues to allow us to learn, you know, to in a civil matter, try and talk about politics and our faith.
How have those red and blue dialogues gone? What are some things that have been said?
I think they've been really good because it really helps both sides to understand the other side. Because in all honesty, I do feel like it is, you know, President Trump's administration, it's making it harder for others to see our Christian faith favorably. He's exasperating the culture of contempt. It's dividing our country. And so too many people are trying to tie our Christian faith to the Republican Party, when in fact, there are a lot of evangelical Christians who, you know, are independents or even, even Democrats. So so this has been a great place for people to come if they're more focused on, you know, uniting our country rather than dividing it. Right. So that's the key.
Rich, evangelical Christians have been a really important part of President Trump's base. And do you feel that it's sort of conflicted right now? As Lena is saying, you can't, you know, have such a broad stroke there.
Yeah, I mean, so I've been evangelical Christian almost all my life. I think I certainly understand where they're coming from. But yeah, it's a very complex issue. It's hard to paint it simply. I mean, I would say roughly 80% of the Christians we know are strong supporters of the president. And so there's some things that are very important for them, right? They want conservative justices. The abortion issue is big deal, as well as religious freedom. But I think many of them will also, if you talk to them longer, they don't like his character. They don't like his tweets. It's concerning to them. So if we can find a way to help alleviate their fear about those three issues and, you know, help reframe them to understand that, look, even with a person like Joe Biden, we don't have to worry about losing those things as much as maybe the media that our friends listen to is telling them, then we may have a path forward to finding ways to work together here.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Rich and Lena Ng, who are longtime Republican voters who have talked about this year in opposition to President Trump's reelection campaign. Let's bring in another call. Mary is with us from Pewaukee. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm very angry about this administration. To me, he has created a swamp. If you look at now, they just let out Cohen and Manafort from jail because of COVID, but yet he wants the school children to go back to school during COVID and is doing very little leadership about it. To me, I have never been a Republican because finances are not more important than people's lives, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if we educated ourselves before we voted for this person, you would see he was in business with his father, who was very corrupt, very biased, and a prejudiced person. They would eliminate black people from their buildings when they were in real estate, and on. Read about it.
Mary, thank you for calling. Lena, I want you to be able to talk about that, and specifically, too, how you view President Trump in light of the racial oppression and the protests going on right now.
Yeah, so I do, you know, I did have some people ask me whether I thought President Trump was a racist, and I don't like to try and guess what people's intentions are, and so I'm not going to do that. And I wouldn't call him a racist, although he, I will acknowledge that his rhetoric certainly is divisive. And so I think he's trying to balance or trying to balance out, you know, the police and the issues of what's happened with blacks systemically. I don't think he's handling it very well. I'm hoping that Joe Biden will come out with a stronger plan to help with our black brothers and sisters who are struggling.
Rich, what long-term effect do you think the president will have on the Republican Party?
Yeah, I think certainly he's had a huge impact, not positive, I'm afraid. I think we've got some soul searching to do as to say, is this the style that we want to adopt? Before, we used to believe that the best ideas matter. Now it seems like the loudest and meanest and the way to be a bully is what carries much more convincing force rather than the force of our arguments and our policies. So I do think this is a very dangerous time. Hopefully our leaders can recover and figure out how to pull the party together back to the roots of conservatism and also the roots of being, you know, for all of the people when they govern, not just for the people of the party.
Lena, are you concerned that Republicans are no longer as one on the same page? Do you feel the tension within the party?
Yes, I think there's an undercurrent. I don't think it's overt, partly because I really think the biggest issue that we need to solve in America is fixing our broken political system. Right now, there is no incentive to work together and actually solve problems. We're more polarized, and so it's very difficult for our legislators to go against party line, and that's. And, you know, moderates have been erased. And so, and collaboration is, you know, nearly non-existent. So anyway, I think that's more the problem that we have to focus on.
Rich and Lena, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you for having us, Kate. Have a great day.
You too. Rich and Lena Eng are longtime Republicans from New Berlin. This year, they're voting against President Trump. Earlier in the hour, we heard from Scott Grabens, chair of the Dane County GOP, and Scott Frostman, chair of the Sauk County GOP. Both made arguments for reelecting President Trump. Just ahead, it is On Point. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.